Let's read the second half of John 21, beginning at verse 15. In this last section of John's gospel, we have the restoration of Peter to fellowship with the Lord. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Once again, some background notes, first of all. Just a few weeks ago, I stood on the shores of the Sea of Galilee near the site of Peter's restoration. There's a traditional site where this event took place, but we can't be sure of the exact location. In verse 15, the Lord asked Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" What was the Lord referring to? More than these? More than the fish? More than the boat and the whole fishing business? More than the disciples? Lots of different opinions here. This is my opinion, okay? Most likely, the Lord is asking Peter whether Peter really loved the Lord more than the other disciples loved the Lord. After all, Peter had claimed that even if all the other disciples forsook the Lord, he would remain faithful. And then, of course, he went out and denied the Lord three times. In verse 18, the Lord predicted Peter's martyrdom. "When you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." There is reliable tradition and early Christian literature indicating that Peter was crucified upside down. Why upside down? Because Peter said he was not worthy to be crucified in the same way his Lord was crucified. In verse 19, the Lord seems to be indicating that Peter's martyrdom would be by crucifixion. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. In verse 24, the disciple whom Jesus loved, as we can see from verse 20, this disciple testifies that he wrote the book. And by process of elimination, we believe that this is none other than John the Apostle. One more background note for this section. Verse 25 is not necessarily hyperbole. You know what hyperbole is? You use it when you write purposeful exaggeration. I told you a million times, you say to your kids not to do that. Did you lie? Oh, they didn't tell you a million times. That's hyperbole, all right? Purposeful exaggeration. So some have said, you know, verse 25 is hyperbole in the Bible, but not necessarily so. Let's read it. "And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." This verse could be taken quite literally. After all, the Lord Jesus is the infinite, eternal Son of God. The world literally could not contain the number of books it would take to record, let alone describe, the infinite number of activities of the eternal Son of God. Well, so much for background notes. Let's move to doctrinal points. Doctrinal point number one, the Good Shepherd restores the sheep. The Good Shepherd restores the sheep. In the first half of John 21, the illustration of fishing was used, speaking of evangelism. In this second half of John 21, the illustration is shepherding, which speaks of pasturing. One of the things that a shepherd does is he restores the sheep. Here, Peter is being restored. Back in chapter 18, Peter had warmed himself at the world's fire. Here in chapter 21, we have the Lord's fire where Peter is restored. The good shepherd restores his sheep. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. The good shepherd restores his sheep. Peter had denied the Lord three times. Now the Lord asks Peter three times, do you love me? Now I'm sure some of you here are aware that there are two Greek words that are used here for love. This is most likely significant. Even though our Lord probably spoke Aramaic, John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, captures in the Greek language here the essence of our Lord's conversation with Peter. In verse 15, the Lord used the word agape, that self-sacrificing type of love, more of the will rather than the emotions. Peter responds with phileo. That's the verb. The word for affection or brotherly love. Again, the Lord used the word agape. Verse 16, Peter responded again with phileo. So then you come to the third time, verse 17. Here the Lord uses phileo. Peter, do you have affection for me? Peter, are you really my friend? We read that Peter was grieved because the Lord was pressing him here. And he responded, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. The restoring process is not always pleasant, but the good shepherd knows the best way to restore the sheep. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a wandering sheep. You're in need of restoration. Well, you can be sure that the good shepherd knows the best way to restore your soul. It may not be pleasant, but it will be the best way. Are you willing to let him do it? That's the key. Are you willing? And by the way, verse 20 would strongly indicate that this was a private conversation between the Lord and Peter, since John is some distance away. The point is, the Lord deals with us one-on-one in his restoring process. The good shepherd restores the sheep. Doctrinal point number two. The good shepherd feeds his sheep. The good shepherd feeds his sheep. Three times the Lord told Peter to take care of the Lord's flock. Feed my lambs, verse 15. Tend my sheep, verse 16. Feed my sheep, verse 17. The Lord would say the same to us. The good shepherd wants his flock to be fed, taken care of, and he uses us to do the job. We're all pastors and shepherds in that sense. If you're a Christian here this morning, you are both a sheep and a shepherd at the same time. And we're to follow the model of the good shepherd. The good shepherd feeds his sheep. Do you notice here how feeding the flock is a test of whether you love the Lord or not? Three times. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Tend my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love the Lord? Are you feeding the sheep? You involved in teaching somewhere? Feeding the flock? What about Sunday school? What about daily vacation Bible school? What about Bible studies? Are you directly involved or indirectly involved in feeding the sheep? Right here, you see, it's a test of whether you love the Lord. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. The good shepherd feeds his sheep. What about practical application? Practical application number one, don't keep looking around at other believers. Don't keep looking around at other believers. After the Lord revealed to Peter that he would die as a martyr, Peter turned around and said in reference to John, verse 21, "But Lord, what about this man?" The Lord said to Peter, verse 22, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." The Lord would say the same to us here this morning. Don't keep looking around at other believers. Follow me. Why is it that we always want to compare the way the Lord works with us with the way the Lord works with other believers? Why does the Lord let that other believer have more money than me? Why does the Lord let that other ministry be supported more than mine? Why does the Lord seem to bless that family more than ours? How come? Why do I have more problems than brother so-and-so? Why do I always get sick and sister so-and-so is always so healthy? Don't keep looking around at other believers. Practical application number two. Make sure you quote the word correctly. Make sure you quote the word correctly. In verse 22, in reference to John, the Lord said, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" And then we read in verse 23, "Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" The early Christians misquoted the Lord, and John had to correct the misconception that was spreading. Do you see the false doctrine that could have developed from misquoting the word of the Lord here? Misquoted, they could build a doctrine that John would live forever, or that the return of the Lord had to be within John's lifetime, or that the Lord was not accurate in all his predictions. You see the problem? The problem was they didn't quote the word correctly. The Lord did not say that John would not die. He said, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" Make sure you quote the word correctly. Sometimes wrong quotes from the Bible can lead to wrong ideas of what the Bible teaches. For example, money is the root of all evil. True? No, that's a misquote of 1 Timothy 6:10. And could lead to wrong ideas about money. The verse actually says, "The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." Make sure you quote the word correctly. Some people even quote scripture that's not even scripture at all. God helps those that help themselves. You've heard that one, right? Make sure you quote the word correctly. Well, there's a lot more we could say, but that brings us to the end of John's gospel. I trust that we've all learned the doctrines, the teaching contained in the gospel of John, as well as I hope we're all putting into practice and sharing with others the practical application that's in the gospel of John.